to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
All right, Acts chapter 2. We're talking about small things that make a big difference. So what have we covered? Covered prayer, worship. What was week two?
God's word.
So we talked about prayer, study of God's word, and worship. So the three that we've covered so far, and how they even overlap in our lives. They're part of that time where we meet with God, commune with God, but it is those things that make a big difference in our life. And, you know, just talking, you know, just going through a regular work week, it's not that we have to do anything wrong. It's just a matter of that, you know, when you get in the pace of life, sometimes it's easy to skip that day of prayer, skip reading God's word. Before you know it, it's not just one day that you've missed several, and all of a sudden you've gone through a week and realized, you know what, man, I didn't get into God's word this week. I didn't spend any time just praying and meeting with God. And then, like that guitar, our life starts getting out of tune. And you don't even have to do anything wrong. It's a matter of that we daily have to come before God in tune. Denise, if she wants to play the guitar tomorrow, or maybe even later on today, she's going to have to take time to tune that guitar. Just because temperature, humidity, all that makes a difference in keeping a guitar in tune. And the same thing is with our lives. We don't have to do anything wrong, per se. It's just a matter of keeping our lives in tune with God's word, with his heart. And those things can only be accomplished. We can only tune our life towards what he is speaking to us if we get into his word, if we spend time in prayer, if we spend time in worship. The fourth thing we're going to talk about this morning is worship. Not worship, fellowship. There we go. Fasting. Yes, on a family feast Sunday, I'm going to talk about fasting. No, we're going to talk about fellowship. The Assemblies of God calls themselves not a denomination, but a... Anybody know this answer? Drum roll. They don't call themselves a denomination. Josh will know this. Right, Josh? What do we call, Josh? A cooperative fellowship. All right. Cooperative fellowship. When the Assemblies of God began in the early 1900s, they did not like the structure of many denominations. And yet they saw the need to network and to form some kind of unity and structure so that they could accomplish sending missionaries overseas, and so that they could be unified in doctrine and teaching and accomplish things on a national and world basis. From the very beginning, they called themselves a cooperative fellowship. So Assemblies of God, even in the name, the Assemblies of God, it's very descriptive that they saw the local church as being very sovereign, being very independent, but yet still unified under a covering to provide some unity and continuity. So they call it the Assemblies of God. And so, but this morning I want to talk about fellowship. And I want us to begin with a video. Matthew, I need you to get the lights, all right? Or Bob has them, I guess. Bob has it there. We're going to begin with the video. And I believe it illustrates what Satan wants to do to every believer. All right? So why don't you catch this?
The fastest animal on land, the cheetah. Cheetahs hunt by vision, not by scent. Like commandos, they sport black marks on the inside corner of each eye, perhaps to cut the sun's glare. Everything about a cheetah is designed for the chase. It gains traction from claws that don't retract and paw pads with extra grip. It'll try to creep within 100 feet from its target before bursting into action. Clocked as fast as 71 miles per hour. At top speed, it takes about 3.5 strides every second. And every minute, up to 150 breaths. Its hind legs are so flexible, they can pass the front ones. And for almost half the time at full speed, the legs don't even touch earth.
All right. Rare. It kind of brings home the point. Kind of vivid, isn't it? But see, that's what Satan wants to do to every believer. He wants to separate believers off from the rest of the herd, the rest of the group. He doesn't care how he does it. He wants to separate you off. He knows when he does that, he has a better advantage. And he wants to have you for lunch. Okay? He wants to have you for lunch. He wants your soul. And, you know, that's fairly graphic and fairly right to the point, but it's the truth. He wants to have your soul. And he'll do it any way he can. And one of the key ways is to get you out of fellowship with your local congregation, your local body. That's how every animal will prey. They try to separate you off from the group, whether it's a wolf, whether it's a cheetah, whether it's a lion. They try to get the weak one. They chase you, and they try to get that weak one to separate off, and then they pursue it and track it down. It's very much how Satan tries to work in our life. I want us to look at Acts chapter 2. The early church has started, and by that I mean Jesus was crucified, he was resurrected, and then you have the birth of the church, which takes place on the day of Pentecost. 2,000 are saved that day, and the church began. We get reports of up to 3,000, 4,000, 5,000. Acts will tell us that the church has grown. But as the church grew, there were some key elements that they did that allowed the church to function, to grow, even in the midst of persecution, even in the midst of hardship and difficulty. All right, so I want us to look at those, starting in verse 42 of Acts chapter 2. It says that these believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to one another as need. Each day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread, that means they had fellowship with food, in their homes, and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They praised God and joined the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray that you would take it and apply it to our hearts and to our lives this day. In your name we ask. Amen. This morning, I want us to look at the power of fellowship. Now, as we read that passage, what were some of the things that they devoted themselves to? Help me. Teaching, the apostles' teaching. What is the apostles' teaching? Well, how would we equate that today? What was the apostles' teaching? The apostles' teaching. Some of it would have been the Torah, but maybe primarily what it would have been. Probably the New Testament, right? Yeah. The Gospels. Most of them were wrote by the apostles. So they were mainly teaching the teachings that Jesus had taught them. And then you have Paul coming alongside. So they devoted themselves to the teachings that Jesus had communicated with the disciples. So for us, that would be the study of God's word, wouldn't it? All right, what else? What's that? Praying together? They prayed together, right, as they met in the homes. What else? Breaking of bread. We're going to do that today. All right? Fellowship, right, with food. All right? How many like that? Yeah. Did you know that's spiritual? It is. It is spiritual. We're going to find out just how spiritual that is. The fellowship. And so as they did these things, there was a great unity. And guess what? The church, in the midst of a hostile environment, because not everybody liked what was happening, the religious leaders did everything they could to stop what was happening because they'd crucified Jesus and they didn't like what was happening in the name of Jesus. They persecuted, they threw him in jail. All of a sudden, Paul will come on the scene, Saul at that point. He begins to persecute the church. Some lost their lives. Some of them lost their property. Some were thrown in jail. But even in the midst of that, the church continued to grow. Isn't that amazing? Because they devoted themselves to these things, and it made a big difference in their life. So I want us to look at three different things that come through fellowship. All right, and you have your programs there. You can write those out. They're on the back side there. First of all, fellowship strengthens us. Fellowship strengthens us. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says that though one may be overpowered, okay, think about the cheetah, the lion, separating that one off. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. And I use this a lot of times when I'm in a marriage ceremony. But it just talks about that the power of us being united, there's a greater strength that comes through us being together. And that's what happens in the early church. They weren't just trying to go out there and trying to live the Christian life on their own, but they gained strength. They learned about the Word of God as they were together. They grew in their faith as they were together. They were encouraged as they were together. And so, as they were together, they were strengthened in their time together. So as we fellowship, we talk, we pray together, we sing together, we cry together, we laugh together. In the church family, no one should cry alone or laugh alone, right? There should be those times that we laugh. If you come on Wednesday night to our small group, you'll laugh. Guarantee it. All right? I don't know if you'll cry, but you'll laugh for sure. but there are those times that we also cry, right? There's those times that we weep. But there's healing, there's strength and joy as the people of God laugh and fellowship together. I want us to look at one other passage in Hebrews. And I'll be going between Hebrews and Acts this morning, these two different passages. But in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 are the ones we're primarily going to be looking at. Here the author of Hebrews is encouraging the believers to persevere. They were Hebrew believers, so they were of the Jewish faith. They had accepted Christ into their life, but they were facing opposition from those that necessarily didn't want them to follow after Christ, that were very, very much to the Jewish law and did not see Christ as being the Messiah. And so they would persecute those who did. And so the author of Hebrews, the whole book, it really looks at to encourage these believers to not give up, but to keep on in the fight to finish the race. And that is an illustration that the author of Hebrews will use is, hey, we're in this race, and there's people up in the stands that are cheering for you and rooting for you to finish the race. But he says in verse 25, he says, let us not give up what? Meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Do not give up meeting together. You know, and I, there are some people that want to be a lone ranger. They say, you know what, I don't need to go to church. You know, it's not a matter about legalism. It's about us finishing the race together, and as we fellowship together, and as we... You just come in these church doors. Maybe it's the worship service. Maybe it's the preaching God's words. But maybe it's just a handshake and your interaction with other people that takes place. that is becomes vital and becomes important for you. And sometimes you look at it through what? Your lens, right? What does church do for me? You ever ask the question, what is church doing for somebody else that I come in contact with when I'm in church? Maybe there's somebody that is there that's needing to see that smile or that handshake or hear that word of encouragement. And often we just look at it, what it does for me. But you know what? Maybe you're here just to be a blessing to somebody else. And maybe you said, you know what? You know, you get here, you slept through your alarm, but you're here. And maybe you were the person that was there to encourage somebody else that day. You are vital. And as the body of Christ, it's important for that fellowship to encourage one another. They've done studies just on encouragement, and encouragement means to give courage. Okay? It means that if you're lacking courage to go forward, to do something, when you're encouraged, somebody else is giving you the courage that you need to go ahead. Just think of the two teams going into the Super Bowl next week, okay? The deflated balls and all that aside, okay? All right? You got two teams going in. Both of them won the championship games on their home field, did they not? New England Patriots and the Seahawks. And the Seahawks, that was an incredible game. Coming from a huge deficit, they go on to win it in the last seconds of the game. Pretty incredible. And, you know, God receives some of the glory there. Home field advantage. Just think about it. You have all the fans up in the crowd. That's a huge advantage. Home field advantage throughout the playoffs attracted. There was only, I think, one team that won on the road through the playoffs. I might be wrong on that. Don't quote me. But I think there was only one team that won on the road. And that might have been, it might have been New England. Somebody looked that up for me and you can get that back to me. Was it Chris? It wasn't New England. It was somebody won on the road. Ravens. Okay, and then they got beat later on, right? Against New England, right? Yes, Chris says with a smile. They've done studies, but they've proven that, you know, an illustration like somebody standing in a bucket of ice water or the cold, icy blue river. They've shown that you will stand in that water twice as long if you have somebody there to encourage you. If you don't have anybody there to encourage you, you'll get out twice as soon. You apply that to the Christian walk or race. If you have somebody there to encourage you, we all get discouraged. We all have struggles and difficulties, okay? And good days and bad days. But if we have the body of Christ to encourage one another and strengthen one another, there's a good chance we're gonna stay in the race and continue to serve God. It makes a huge difference. Fellowship encourages us. Secondly, it sharpens us. Now, the men's retreat brochure has on the front as Proverbs 27:17. It says, as iron sharpens iron, what? One man sharpens another. Now, that's how you sharpen, usually you sharpen a knife, right? You put it against something else hard, a stone or something else that is just as hard, and it sharpens it. That's where it comes from. And it brings out that even within the body of Christ, we sharpen one another. We challenge one another. And as we dialogue and as we talk, our faith grows, all right? And we are strengthened through that. We are sharpened. Hebrews 10:24, so going back to Hebrews, the verse before says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Gary, did you bring your spurs this morning? I forgot to text you on that, didn't I? He brought them the other day. He had them. He was trying them on. He has a set of spurs. But that's interesting terminology, isn't it? But you use spurs primarily on a horse. And it's to kind of get them going a little bit. Maybe they're kind of just being a little bit lackadaisical. Is that a word? And those spurs kind of bring some life and get them going. And I know that in the Christian realm, we never get lackadaisical, do we? We never get that way. We never get lazy. We never kind of get comfortable, right? That never happens to you and I. But sometimes within the body of Christ, we need to encourage one another and even spur each other a little bit, you know? We can put the little felt on those spurs and make it a little bit not as... but we need to... We're to sharpen one another. We're to spur one another on. We're to keep each other sharp, all right? You know, and if our brother and sister in Christ is kind of just lagging a little bit, we've built that relationship and that friendship. We have a right to speak into their life, and they have the right to speak into our life and say, hey, you know what? You're not keeping up. You do that on a basketball or football team, right? If your teammate's not cutting it, then they're just not in it. Well, you know, sometimes you see that happen on the court or on the field. They say, come on, you know, let's get our act together. They challenge and they spur one another on, and they sharpen one another. They should be improving each other. And we need to be doing that within the body of Christ. We sharpen each other as we fellowship together. There's a third one. I'm not going to take real long today. The third one is it protects us. It protects us, fellowship does. When I was doing research on videos, I found one where wolves were trying to hunt bison. And this pack of wolves had this herd of buffalo surrounded. And those buffalo were just standing there. But they kind of were all bunched up and they were face out, kind of in a circle. And they had every one of them, you know, there were some in the center and then the big ones were on the outside and they were all facing outward. And the wolves couldn't do anything. And a wolf isn't able to attack a buffalo as long as it's facing it. Okay? And as long as they're in that bunch. And so what the wolves hope that they will happen is that the buffalo or the bison will get intimidated. And if they can get them to run, and once they get them running through the deep snow, they can separate off a weak one, and they can attack it from behind. But as long as those bison stick together as a group, the wolves aren't able to touch the buffalo. Just apply it to that to the church. If we stick together, if we stay part of our group, Satan doesn't have a chance. He doesn't. Because, you know, if he comes in with temptation or he comes with an attack, we surround each other and we hold each other up in prayer. We hold each other up and strengthen each other. But it's when Satan is allowed to come in and he separates us off. We get discouraged or maybe we even get offended. Well, so-and-so did this or did that. And we get offended and we leave. We think, maybe we're getting even with the church or something. But see, Satan uses that to get you isolated. And when you're isolated, you're fair game. Because you don't have the body of Christ to protect you, to lift you up, to pray for you, to strengthen you. God has not called us to walk this journey alone. He's called us to walk this journey together so that there's strength, there's accountability, there's power through the fellowship. It protects us, it sharpens us, and it strengthens us. I'm going to have the musicians come. The longer I pastor, the more I appreciate the power of fellowship. Whenever I see the body of Christ laughing together and fellowshipping together, I always take that as a good sign of health. Because it means that there is good fellowship, that there's good communication, that people are getting along, and that the enemy doesn't have a foothold into the body of Christ. It's when there becomes divisions that all of a sudden then Satan has his way and he begins to separate and pull people aside. The early church faced some incredible growth and success. It wasn't because they had an easy path. It's quite the opposite. They had a lot of persecution, a lot of hardship. And yet in the midst of that, they saw phenomenal growth. And I believe it was because they gathered together in homes. They fellowshiped. They studied God's word. They prayed together. They shared food together. They even shared more than that, didn't they? And as they did, they gained strength. They gained power. They grew spiritually, maturity. They grew in number. They grew in every sense of the way that we would use to measure spiritual growth. They grew. You know, God can do that here. And I believe He is doing that here. Amen? Fellowship is so vital. You know, and it may seem like a small thing just getting up to church. Maybe it's not a small thing. Maybe setting that alarm, getting out of bed is not always the easiest thing. It can seem like a small thing. And I know there's a lot of things. You know, there's kids' activities now on Sundays. And there's other stuff going. Sometimes people use it as a day to catch up in the work week. It'd be an easy thing to set aside. And it's not just Sunday mornings. It's maybe your small group meeting on Wednesdays. That's where we tune our heart. That's where we have fellowship with one another. That's where we're strengthened. We're sharpened. And we keep our protection in the body of Christ. Would you stand this morning? We're going to have those, that if you have a need or request, you can agree with the prayer. And I want to close with that song, Build Your Kingdom Here. Victor and Yolanda, if you'd join me. Josh and Karen. Father, this morning we just, I thank you for the body of Christ and the fellowship that we have. We're going to have some food and some fellowship afterwards here today. It's a fun time. But it also is a very important time. That as we as the body of Christ come together, there's some wonderful things that happen, sometimes without us even knowing it. But they're very instrumental in our spiritual journey, in our success. Just that power of fellowship. So, Father, I pray that you would just grace us with your presence as we gather in your name to honor you and to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Be with us here this morning.